T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fair to say you were pretty upset?
No, it wasn't upset. It was like, we got to make sure. No, it was something that I saw. It's not like body language, whatever. It's something that, hey, we've been talking about this, and it's not stuff. It's other stuff, baseball stuff.
That's Alex Cora. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. And he did make a strange trip out in the fourth inning to the mound with E-Rod. Was he tipping pitches?
You know, I mean, judging from that comment, yes.
Baseball stuff.
Because, you know, my first thought was, like, no, it was just more if he was upset with him. Because, like, if there's certain red flags that pop up, like, you know, if you feel guys is tipping pitches, when you start laying off good pitches, like, in other words, when Sale's next start, you know, if he's throwing sliders down and in that Sandy's catching, like, not, you know, just off the ground, like, and nobody is swinging at it, nobody, the guys are spitting on that pitch.
Yeah.
You would sit there and say, okay, something's wrong. They got a slider because no one's even offering. Like, if E-Rod was throwing really good changeups just off the plate, down and away, and they were just spitting on it, and you looked at the reaction of the hitter and said, okay, something's going on. But I don't think that was the case.
No, I saw
I thought he was awful in those last two innings.
Well, you know, Vasquez is setting the glove up in one position, and the ball's landing 2 feet over to the other side. I mean, that tells me that he's just lost all
the
of his stuff.
The only thing it could have been to me was that, you know, it was, listen, they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. Number one, you're not executing, but you know what? By the way, this will help you out too. Every time you throw a fastball, your glove's different. So, you know, they know that it's a changeup and a breaking ball. You know, whatever. It's an off-speed pitch to a fastball. Now, your location is so bad, you're getting shredded too. So you got a lot of stuff going on here right now. So I thought it was, you know, it's just he wasn't happy with him. After hearing that, there's no question that something was going on. But that wasn't the reason why he got hit. He got hit because he was awful in those last two innings.
So just chalk it up as nothing. Because right now, when you think about what he was last year, as to compare it to this year, right now left-handed hitters are hitting .357 off of him.
That's
and the
ridiculous.
Guy, the guy that hit the two off him yesterday, the same dude hit two home runs. I can't remember what his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing anything. Right? Mm-hmm. And so last year, .234 against them and only three home runs.
Yeah, he can't get lefties out. This has been all year long. He can't get them out.
But last year was to the point where they were using them, you know, in the playoffs to specifically get out left-handed hitters.
You were not doing that right now.
So is it just one of those? I mean, listen, it can happen, right? He was playing. He was doing pretty well for the most part. We asked Cora about it last week.
He's a tease,
though. He's starting to. Okay, so
last two outings, he's got blown up in each one of these games in one inning, right? Blown up, and that's what's happening
to
him.
Yeah, with him, you know, I would say if he came out of that game in the sixth inning against Colorado, you would sit there and say, man, this guy's been lights out. But, you know, he gave up those three in the seventh. He didn't get a guy out. So you would look at, even coming into this game, in his last starts, the Red Sox are 7-0. He is 4-0 with a 3-4-6. You'll take it all day long. Now, if I took away that seventh, where they brought him in a good pitch count to face three lefties, and he didn't get a soul out, and all three of them scored, You're talking about somewhere in that 2.7 ERA range. So, and six innings. But this is just him, you know, and it's like you got to just constantly stay on him and you got to reel him in because he looked really good in the first three innings. And it's just, he gets so happy with himself that I think he can lose focus. And when he does, it's like, man, now what do I do? You know, and because I tell you, that last two innings, he got shredded.
Yeah.
And he got lucky.
Hey, it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, my Lord.
A lot worse.
He's throwing cutters, right there. And they're following it back. He's throwing changeups, like, letter high, and they're missing it or popping it up. And I'm like, wow. Like, he got hit. He probably made about 15, 20 mistakes in two innings and got away with most of them.
So
think
about this weekend. You've got Houston this weekend. And matter of fact, over the next 20, 30 days, you're going to face all of those teams that you're battling right now for a playoff spot in the American League. But you get Houston again this weekend, three games. you better do well Friday or Saturday, because Sunday you've got Erod versus Verlander. You think Alex feels good about that one on Sunday? That's Sunday night, right? National TV?
Awful.
Yeah.
Well, is he going to get any run support?
Well, honestly, he probably does. You know, and hopefully, I mean, he does, you know, that he knows the guy's stuff. But I don't know, maybe that's the type of lineup that, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to screw around today. Great, you dominated the Blue Jays one time through the order. You thought it was going to be a cakewalk. And then you came out in the fourth and couldn't execute a damn pitch the rest of the night. Now you're going to go up against Houston. You got to grind. I mean, you can't take a hitter off. It's the best off, best lineup in the game. Maybe Springer doesn't play. Maybe Altuve comes back. I don't know. But maybe that's what he needs. I have no idea. Because he was, don't get me wrong, he was throwing great for a while.
Yeah, but they need him now, Lou.
Sure,
that's the
do.
Thing. You know, you've got no Steven Wright because that dope screwed up.
No Brian
and
Johnson.
No Brian Working. Johnson. No Evaldi. And you've just got Price back. And as I said, you're going through a run here where you're really going to find out whether this team is in the mix with the Yankees, with Houston. The Yankees, you know, they're getting healthy now. Watch out.
Well, see, they're about to run away with it.
The thing with Rodriguez is he becoming, and I know, you know, Buchholz did a lot more, but Rodriguez seems to be, like, the same narrative is starting to be created with him. Lots of upside, lots of potential, glimpses of, you know, what his ceiling could be.
Yeah, they're both head cases,
by,
you're right.
Yeah, followed both by, you know, head-scratching outings.
Yeah, they
and
have
you
the,
sit
they
there
have...
and you go, because we just asked Cora, hey, listen, you've been riding this guy, you've been challenging him. Hey, he's starting to figure it out. He's getting tougher, right? Is he?
Yeah, but they both have physical ability. You see it, but this kid just loses it. He just loses it. I don't know. Is the catcher an issue?
You know, I do wonder if these two guys, when they get together, if sometimes, because I think both of them are the same way.
What do you mean, Vasquez?
Yeah, like Vasquez.
Both kind of space shots.
No, both
space,
of them.
Space ghosts.
No, it's like, you know, after three innings, it's not just Erod out there and posing after he strikes a guy out and comes off and, you know, walks off with one foot because his leg's still up, or, you know, he keeps his arm up there forever. But it's also a little bit of Vasquez, too, with, like, the pump and the little pip job sometimes, once in a while. And these two together sometimes, and they have done well together.
We need the adult in the room.
But I wouldn't be upset if they gave him Sandy for a game. But Sandy can't catch everybody,
no.
But just for a game.
No.
It's just sort of like, all right,
to get right catcher.
You just try to keep them both focused. That's
so
all.
Is it honestly, it seems like it's like one of those situations where, if, like you said, if there's an adult in the room, they're fine. If there's a substitute teacher or somebody who thinks the same way, they're going to maybe just be a little bit more careless, try to get away with some things. And the catcher, being the same way, is going to, boys.
That's the thing, because he is, in my mind, he is the same. Because we're now seeing glimpses of it. You know, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I did like four games out of the five last week. Like the miscommunication.
Yeah.
Getting crossed up. Now, I don't know if it's the pitcher. I don't know if it's the catcher's fault. We have seen some balls where he just sort of missed. And it's like, okay, Vasquez is right there. The guy's raking right now. And he's throwing the ball well. And he's, but there's still moments where you're just like, come on. Stay with me here. Stay with me. You know, and you pair that up with that guy in the mound. Come on now. Stay with me. You do wonder, the two of them together, sometimes you're like, okay, maybe we should put an adult in there for one game. And no, I shouldn't say that word, because, you know, Vasquez is obviously turned the corner. He's very good. It's just that both of them remind me of...
He's raking. He's hitting similar. Right. He's hitting right
they're
now.
They're both very similar.
Yep.
In my mind.
He's hitting right now. But that's always...
They're both very close.
That's not a good thing.
They don't
necessarily.
Mean they're both very close to turning that corner, just being who they should be. And maybe Vasquez is there right now.
I get what
I mean.
You're saying. Yeah, but we've always said that about Erod, haven't we? When they made that trade from Baltimore for Miller, Andrew Miller, didn't we say that this kid is on the cusp? He's on the edge, right?
Hey,
here,
Eduardo, way to go,
of becoming a really good major league pitcher.
Yes,
and we're still waiting for it. He has his moments, and you sit there and say, "There it is." But where's the consistency? There isn't. So you just said it, Christian. He's been pitching well up to two games ago. The last two games, you're starting to see, here we go again.
See, I know a lot of people want to label him like, you know, injury prone. I can't go there yet, because I feel like one injury has really destroyed a couple of years for him, right? He had the kneecap thing. He had a loose kneecap. He had one injury.
Right.
And he had an issue one year and had to go on a DL for it. And then tried to rehab it, and then came back the following year and missed part of the season because of it. And then it came back. And then he had surgery on it. So it's like, okay, in order for me to label him injury prone, I need another one. You know, I need a back. You know, I need something. I need a lat. I need a shoulder. I need an elbow. So it's, you know, and so far, you know, he's 10 starts. You know, he's out there taking the ball. So I want to see more from him because he's very important. If you're going to let Rick Porcello walk at the end of the year, who gives you 32 each and every single year, do you need this guy to get some consistency and give you innings?
Well, I think he's important right now for this season. They need him for this season, especially if you can't trust Eovaldi. We still don't know what you're going to get out of Sale when you get to the last 2 months. And Price is probably going to go through another period where he's got some downtime.
Let me tell you someone they don't need. Tyler Thornburg.
That's awful. He's awful.
This is my message. If Dave Dombrowski is listening, I would say, Dave, it's okay. Okay? You lost. You missed on this one. All the other trades, you won. We could talk about all
Travis Shaw.
You know, all the other trades, you've won. You know, I mean, you've moved on from guys. You brought this guy in, and you won a World Series. And
David
the other players
Dombrowski
might turn into good players. But this one here, you lost. And it's time to move on. Because it's just, he's not a big league pitcher. And I feel like the only reason why he is here still is because Dave traded for him.
Yeah,
and he's still trying to justify it. So
exactly.
I get it. But it's just not going to happen.
No, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And Shaw became a player once he left here. Boom, just like that, right?
Yeah.
Happened just like that. Gave them power, something that the Red Sox needed at the time. And you look at it now and, oh, awful. All right, let's check in with Alex Cora. We will do that coming up next right here on OMF.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
But I'm ours again. Welcome to the paradise.
Quattro abbracci su un caffè.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
it's time for our weekly conversation with Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox radio network. Here he is from another country up in Toronto, Canada. Manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Terrific.
Good.
It's great down here. It's terrific in this country.
got lots of. You know.
Where are the fans, by the way, up in Toronto? Remember when they used to pack that place and they had 4 million people? Where the hell did they all go?
there was a big game yesterday around here, so I don't know. Probably most of them that were there.
Biggest controversy they had this week was Vlad Guerrero Jr. doesn't play on Monday on Victoria Day, and people are up in arms. That's unbelievable. All right, let's start with Erod. Things were going well here a couple games ago. Left-handed hitting again does him in. You make a trip out there in the fourth inning. I know you probably want to skirt around the tipping pitches, but something was wrong, right?
Yeah, something I noticed, and you just have to make sure you correct it right away. You know, it's something that sometimes it pops, you know, here and there. We've been working hard the last two years to avoid stuff like that. And just a quick reminder of, you know, hey, make sure, you know, we stay not in the same page, but do the things that you have to do to get people out.
Yeah, because it looked like, I don't know, at first you feel like, oh, man, just going out there, right? There's frustration. It looked like he kind of lost it and leaving some changeups up. I want to go back to the game last week against Colorado because I was doing that game. It was interesting because he kind of got out of the jam with the sack fly, but then he walks McMahon, the lefty. Fourth inning, you're up 5-2, and you get the bullpen up. And it mm-hmm. seemed like the patience maybe with him in that game. Were you frustrated over that two-out walk to McMahon?
When was it? Last week?
Yeah, his last start.
I think
Colorado.
So. I mean, yeah. I got good memory, man. But I guess I was. It's one of those that, you know, with him, you know what you get, you know, and stuff is great. But, you know, it gets to, you know, in certain spots that we need to get people out. And, you know, I think he was hitting seventh or eighth, I want to say.
Yeah.
In that game. So, you know who's coming up, you know, in two or three batters. And you got to try to win ball games, you know. And I think at that point, we were in a good place as far as the bullpen, if not, I'm mistaken. If not, I'm making this up right now. You put me in the spot right here. But it's one of
good.
Those that, I know. I can do that, too.
How about this one? What is it that you see that's making him less effective against lefties? Is it two-seamer in? Is it just location? What is it?
I think there's you know, he's going with the two-seamer in and throwing the changeup in. And I think velocity-wise, it's very similar. You know, like, I think his two-seamer, when he goes in, is 90, and the changeup sometimes is 87, 88. So the action is kind of like the same. So if a lefty is looking hard inside, you know, low and in, and you throw a changeup, you're going to put him on time, and then he's going to get the head out. And it's happened with Smith from Baltimore at home early in the season. It happened yesterday with Tellez, although that changeup, it wasn't a good one. You know, it was actually up in the zone. So we have to, you know, change eye levels, use the fastball up and in, use the fastball up and away. As you know, his slider is not a great pitch. It's actually his third pitch. So he has to be careful using that one. And I think he needs to attack them a little bit different. You know, I think we're going to the same spot over and over again, and then hitters are making adjustments. For all the hits or extra bases that he's given up against lefties, it's been only one the other way, and it was B. Gordon in the first game of the season. It was a jam shot up with third baseman for a hit. Maybe there's another one there, but there's not a lot of damage going the other way. So we'll see how we work out. We'll talk about it, and we have to make adjustments.
All right, a two-parter for me. Because I saw the this Marcus Stroman stuff is kind of interesting to me, and you were quoted saying, "No, he competes a certain way, and people don't like it." Explain that part. Like, what is it? How does he compete? That what does he do that people don't like it? Or is he just a jerk?
I mean, it's a Stro show. You know, he's on the mound and he has his antics and he gets under people's skins, and all of a sudden he pitches six innings. You know, I was with the Astros and people from the dugout were screaming at him. I'm with the Red Sox and people from the dugout screaming at him. It's part of it, you know, and I said he competes a certain way. Some people like it and some people don't. But as you guys know, in the media, there's always somebody writing the headline, and those are the ones that get you in trouble. So, you know, thank you again to the guy that wrote the headline, and now there's something going on here in Toronto.
No, it's actually, I like it. I wish there would be more chippiness in baseball.
More people
but
pissed
it was
off.
Funny because it's funny.
It wasn't even about the quick pitch, you know, like people do that a lot. Nate Eovaldi, he quit pitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he throws 99, 100. So I wasn't actually complaining about the quick pitch. And I was actually telling the umpire because Stroman goes to Chavis and he talks to him. And then somebody from the dugout screams at Stroman, and Alan Porter right away jumps on our guy. I was actually screaming at the umpire, but. You know, if people want to feel like I was screaming at Stroman and that's a story, so be it. You know, I don't have anything against the kid. I think he even tweeted that I'm still mad that he didn't pitch for Team Puerto Rico in the WBC.
Yeah.
Dude, I had the best time in my life with that team, and he wasn't part of it. That was probably my highlight of my career.
Wait.
And he pitched six innings, and he did an outstanding job for Team USA in the finals, and I had a blast with the team that we had. So, I remember when he decided to pitch for Team USA, he didn't call me. Actually, Nolan Arenado called me to tell me that he wasn't going to play for us. Stroman announced it at David's tournament in Dominican Republic. The next day, I call and I say, Marcus, man, I saw your decision. I respect it. Blah, you know, like, hey, I wish you luck. And he goes like, hey, Alex, you know, let's get together. Let's do something for Puerto Rico. His mom is Puerto Rican. So let's do something Puerto Rico. No hard feelings. I'm like, no hard feelings. So, you know, he still thinks I'm mad. I'm not actually mad. You know, like, what are we going to do? You know, he had a choice, and he pitched for the gold medal team. You know, no big deal.
Hey, so, you know, you just created headlines, right? You understand that, right?
So what?
You just created another headline. You get that, right?
No, I've just been honest. You know, okay. It's not a big deal. You know, I don't have anything against the kid, man. He's been in the big leagues for, what, 3-4 years. He has a ERA on the 3. He competes, you know, and you know, I still remember when he came back from the ACL and he pitched in the playoffs. Man, that was fun to watch. What was it? When Bautista hit the home run, he was part of that team. You know, he was amazing. I have nothing against this kid.
No, I was going to say that if you said this is a big issue up in Canada.
No.
Who cares about the Canadians? Really? What do we care?
No, don't say that.
Are they our allies in something? I don't know.
It might be a problem. All right, so I'm looking at the schedule, and you don't get days off for a long time, all right? On top of that, you're facing the teams that are vying for the top spots right now in the American League. So you get Houston, you get Cleveland, you get New York, you get Tampa Bay, and then you get Minnesota after that. How much are you going to learn about your team with no days off, toughest competition in the league? What do you learn in the next 30 days?
That we're still a good team, man. I think, you know, we've been very consistent the last 3 weeks of the season. We're getting healthy. You saw what David did 2 days ago. I think offensively we still – you know, we show flashes of who we are, but we're still a little bit inconsistent. But, you know, we had a good weekend. I mean, not a great weekend against Houston. Obviously, we lost 2-3. But I think we put good at-bats. We weren't able to finish innings, and that's been the biggest problem lately when we lose games. You know, we got bases loaded, no outs, and we don't score. But we're in a good spot. I think our team is good. The bullpen is doing an outstanding job, you know, when we had the lead. So we're in a good place.
So right now, like I've talked about before, you still have the 8-man bullpen, and I'm a firm believer of, say, confidence innings. And I think the other day, a couple of days ago, Brazier got one, right? Came in there and looked a little bit better. But when you try to give a confidence inning to a guy like Tyler Thornburg, then does that make it hard to justify keeping 8 out there? Because every time he comes in, no matter what the score, down 10, up 8, whatever it is, it's like he just is traffic, it's tough. He just doesn't look like he's effective out there at all.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knows that we have to make decisions. You know, we got certain guys that are playing in the minor leagues right now, rehab assignments, and you know, they're going to get healthy, and we're going to have to make tough decisions. You know, and it's a matter of performing at this level. And right now, you know, there's certain guys that they can do better, and we know that. You know, we see the stuff with Tyler. We've been talking about it the whole time since we've been training. You see 94, 95, the breaking ball. But he hasn't been able to finish hitters off. And, you know, he's up 1-2, 0-2, and then either he hangs a breaking ball or he doesn't spot the fastball, or it's the other way around. So, you know, there's some tough decisions coming up. Everybody knows it. So, you know, there's certain guys that they need to perform. And that's the nature of this business. That's the nature of the game, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, speaking of performing, Andrew Benintendi is having a tough time leading off, especially in that first inning, right? Is there any point in time where you sit there and say, all right, I'm going back to Mookie leading off, kind of like what happened last year?
You see what Mookie's hitting in the first inning?
But what about Benintendi?
Not good either. They're both the same. Yeah, they're both the same, I think. Pretty close to it.
Person, you got to be ready when you come with those with me, brother.
I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Baseball guy, but is that
I'm
something
with you, brother?
Well, no, well, I'm like Stroman now. Like, what are you mad about? Lou gave me that question.
Well, I'll ask you this week. This is a plan that you had in the off season. At what point do you look at it and say, yeah, it's maybe not in our best interest to do it this way anymore?
I mean, it all depends how you see it. You know, Mookie's getting more at-bats with men on throughout the game. Actually, Andrew's getting at-bats with men on. The only thing is that we haven't been able to put big innings together in the first inning, something that we did last year. But you got to trust the player. You know, actually today he was out there with us hitting early. You know, he doesn't feel right with his swing. It seems like he's pulling off, hitting stuff off the end of the bat. The strikeouts, obviously, that's something that is not part of his game, and everybody knows it. And, you know, the way we see it, it's just, you know, he's going through a stretch. He's not, you know, swinging the bat the way he's capable of. So this is a guy we trust, and I think, you know, when he swings the bat okay or well, you know, he produces, and we're going to trust him.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. The question was submitted by Wayne Caliento. What has been your hardest decision to make? You okay? You all right? You all right? We don't want to lose you here. What has been your hardest decision to make so far this season, other than renewing this segment on the radio?
No, honestly, it was taking Chris out of the that game against Colorado. You know, you put everything in perspective, and obviously there's a historic thing, but at the same time, you got to take care of the guy. And although it looked easy because of the score, 3-2, but at the, you know, inside, you're like, man, you know, he has a shot to do something historic, but, you know, we got to take care of the guy. So, you know, it's one of those that you put everything in perspective, and you make the right decision for the benefit of the player, obviously, with his health. and obviously the team.
Yeah, but look at it this way. You had a guy who sat there and praised the hell out of you, you know, respect you so much.
Yeah. Actually, if you see it, was it Lou that mentioned this? Like, well, if he strikes out 20, he's part of a club.
Yep.
You know, there's other three guys. And now he's the only pitcher in the history of the game to strike out 17 in 7 innings. So he has his own club. You know, he's by himself now. He's very, you know, he made history.
Oh, you're making it up right now. That's what you're doing. Trying to ease out of it.
I'm off today, boys. But let me tell you something. All over the place. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't think Marcus Stroman would have taken it as lightly as Sale did.
Real quick, last one. Have you made a decision on tomorrow yet? The starter?
Not yet. All depends how he goes today. Yeah. Okay. But the options are Hector and Weber.
All right.
All depends how we do it today.
All right, there's your Cumberland Farms question of the week. It's brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question, and we'll give it to Alex coming up each and every one of these Wednesdays. Have a good one up there in Toronto. See you, Alex.
We'll be better next week.
See ya. Boy, he killed you. He was all over you. That's unfair.
I mean, I thought that was a softball. But, I mean, I guess I should have worded it differently.
But then I like your style. Well, Lou gave me the question. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well,
it wasn't me. I'm a fool. I don't know anything about baseball.
I was going straight JBJ, and Lou's like, no, this is what you got to do. So Andrew Benintendi, he's 2 for 35, but he's 1 for 36. So, yeah, that was my fault.
I'm going to have Lou ask it.
Mookie's not great in the first inning either, and I would agree.
But my real question
but
was...
No, but I would say this. Maybe it's because he's hitting second, not first.
Well, I really want to know what he thought the biggest difference was between Canadian ham and Canadian bacon.
Should have asked that question.
Is there a difference?
He wouldn't... should have asked that question. And it would be an original question. It would have been Lou's question.
Canadian bacon in the United States is just ham, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yes. Pretty much, yeah.
And bacon in Canada is what? Bacon?
I don't know. Is it?
I have no idea.
If it's Canadian bacon, but it's really ham.
We're going to take a break.
In the United States.
We're taking a break. You sit there and you ponder. Go
see, these
the
are
little,
my questions.
Go to the little Google machine.
these are the good
Check
ones.
Out the Google machine.
You want to make his head
see
spin.
See if you can find it. All right, to the phone call, 617-779-7937, coming up next.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Andrew Benintendi. Having a tough time leading off, especially in that first inning, right? Is there any point in time where you sit there and say, all right, I'm going back to Mookie leading off, kind of like what happened last year?
You see what Mookie's hitting in the first inning?
But what about Benintendi?
Not good either.
Christian, you got to be ready when you come with those with me, bro.
Well, I mean, I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Baseball guy, but is that something?
I'm just playing with you, brother.
Well, no, I'm like Stroman now. Like, what are you mad about? Lou gave me that question, by the way.
Okay, so you're going to have Bill on tomorrow, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we're going to have him on tomorrow.
So how are you going to ask the question?
I'm going to have Lou ask it.
It's unbelievable. Just bailed out.
Some repeat behavior here,
it's unbelievable. So Cora's getting all over his ass, and he just bails out and says, hey, Lou,
well, the thing is that he's protected by that's not the point. You know, Mookie's numbers are or what they are.
Good
but
question.
It still doesn't remove the fact that Benintendi can't hit in the leadoff spot.
I think the response would have been, and I just wasn't quick enough, was... Maybe it's because he's hitting leadoff and Mookie's hitting second. It's the reason why neither one of them
very
took
good.
The first inning.
Yeah.
Because last year, when it was the other way around, it didn't seem to be a problem. Right?
Yeah.
So it was your fault.
So I didn't give you enough information. I didn't think about
still
it.
Still working it. I got to give you credit.
No, he sold you out because this is... You guys made me the bad guy in the Bill Belichick interview, so this is Lou's way of payback.
That's true. Yeah, but Cora's, you know, he's easygoing, though. He's, you know, what do you think that response would have been from Bill?
You don't think Belichick's easygoing?
Bill would have killed you.
No. Bill wouldn't have, you know, been playful with it. Bill would have just politely...
Rolled his eyes.
Rolled his eyes, and there would have been a long pause, and he would have said, well...
Still, I've already addressed that question, Lou.
Still the same dope I had as a tight end.
Because Bill could undress anybody at any point in time if he wanted to.
So let me ask you. So when I asked him about Thornburg, his answer...
He's gone.
How would you translate that answer?
I would say once somebody comes back and is active on this roster, Tyler Thornburg, see you later.
I mean,
goodbye.
Right? I mean, it was... I don't mind keeping 8 guys out there if they all have a role.
Yeah.
But one guy's role is to come up mop out duty and continue to get hammered.
Right. Goodbye!
So why do you have 8 guys in the bullpen if one of them can't even come in and pitch well down 10-2? You know, so it's, whether it's Brock Holt, whoever it might be. You know, I don't know about Pedroia. I have no clue. But somebody's got to come back. Brock Holt's the guy. You need him on the bench. and Thornburg needs to leave.
Well, he's lucky now because Vasquez is hitting, and even Jackie Bradley Jr. in the last couple of games, the long ball, he's hitting a little bit because he really doesn't have a lot of versatility with guys sitting in the dugout late in games because he's got an extra arm out there in the bullpen really doesn't need.
He does when he faces lefties. He does. You know, I mean, if you're sitting Jackie, I don't even know.
No.
But I'm just saying, at least Mitch Moreland's on the bench.
Right.
You know, I mean, the other day against the lefty, he sat Benintendi. So you had Benintendi and Moreland on the bench. Okay. You know, or maybe Leon catches that day. You got Vasquez, Moreland, and, you know, whether it's Benintendi or Jackie, whoever else is sitting, it's like you got some options because Pierce starts and Nunez starts. But when you go righty and you look over there and you sit there and say, okay, if a lefty comes in, we're going to go to Pierce? We're going to go to Nunez? Should we pinch hit Leon? Like, it's like, what? And by the way, who am I going to, I can pinch run Nunez. I guess that's what I have, right? So it's just, he needs another bat. I don't mind keeping eight relievers if they all got a roll, but good God. Take your loss with Tyler Thornburg.
About 50 minutes ago, Lou Merlone took an unnecessary shot at Al Horford. We were actually announcing that Marcus Smart had made the first All-NBA defensive team.
Yeah.
And he not only did it on the air, but he did it on Twitter. I'll read it for you. This is a shame. Al Horford, who did not make the All-Defensive team, is the greatest defender in the world.
He is.
He, quote, humanizes Giannis.
We saw that.
Who, by the way, did make the first All-NBA defensive team.
Am I wrong that was actually in print?
In print?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, he humanizes Giannis. We read that.
Humanizes.
Okay.
Somebody wrote that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how about Embiid?
He defends Embiid better than anyone in the NBA.
Heard that too.
Embiid made the second team all defensive team. Look at the metrics. It's a travesty, I tell you, a travesty.
It is.
And they played it off of Forsberg's tweet.
It is.
Anna Horford, 27 minutes ago.
Oh no, what'd she say?
She responds,
"Jesus,
sir, this is a Wendy's." What does that mean? Does she think you're flipping burgers or something? Is that what she's done? What does that mean? Can anybody explain what it means? This is a Wendy's.
I don't know what that means.
Does that mean I work at Wendy's?
Or maybe you mistakenly called Wendy's? I don't. Who the hell knows? That's how bad it is?
Sir, this is a Wendy's. I have no idea what she's saying. She obviously responded to you because she was pissed. I don't get it.
So Wendy's actually responded to her.
Smart.
I'm not even lying.
We are a restaurant.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
There's a
but
lot.
But it is a travesty.
It is. But he did get some votes. It wasn't. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like they completely disrespected him. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily the difference maker. If he was better, then maybe he would have figured out how to stop Giannis in the last three games of that series. How about that? So maybe that's what they're grading him on.
Lightning rod for Lou. That's all I can tell you. He's a nice player. He's a good player.
But humanizing
is a stretch. Better than anyone in the NBA against Embiid is a stretch. And you know what's going to happen? Because write it down right now on the calendar, June 28th, 29th, July 1st. He will opt out, and he will take less money to stay with the Celtics for 3 years. And you know what people are going to say? That's Al. He's a team player. That's not being a team player. That's getting himself the best deal he can get. Because if he plays another year at a year older here at $33, $34 million, and he suddenly goes into the free agent market, let's say he has more problems with that knee. What's he going to get for a deal next year in the open market? He's doing the smart thing. He likes it here, okay? And he's going to do a deal that facilitates both sides. That's what he's doing here.
Yes. And they should.
But he will get tremendous praise. He's doing nothing out of the ordinary. He's doing what's best for Al Horford, and it also turns out to be... Because the Celtics aren't saving any money on the cap.
It's a necessary move.
Yeah, but let's not play the Brady game when Brady takes less money in a specific year.
Where do you think
he's
getting the open market?
He's not opening up cap room for
anybody.
Where
do you think he's getting the open market?
Right now?
Yeah.
No, nothing. Well, not nothing, but he would get
if he wants to go to a lottery team, he can get his money.
A good team he's not going to get because they won't have the money.
No.
So
it's not like he's doing anybody a favor.
No,
he's
good
doing
teams,
what's best for Al, and he's just a smart guy.
Yeah, what the big teams do, the good teams, they either want that max cap guy, because that's going to make a difference in their team, or they're going to get the cheap guy sitting at the end of the bench.
So do you remember, you know, we have this in front of us, Rob Parker sent out this, you know, crazy tweet a while ago.
He's the loat.
Talking about Brady and, you know, just really pretty much hate. And then Wendy's, unsolicited, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tweeted back at Rob Parker and said, sir, so Wendy's said, sir, this is the Wendy's.
So is that where she's getting it from?
It must be.
It has to be.
So she's now plagiarizing tweets.
Well, is it basically, so anytime someone acts nutty or crazy, you say, or says something stupid, or you say, sir, this is a Wendy's?
I'm seriously so excited to start this journey with
you guys. Is it kind of like, buy Felicia?
I'm going to go buy a bottle.
Is
that
kind of what it is? Like, buy Felicia.
I'm going to go buy a bottle of Apothic Red. Tonight, I'm just going to do
it. I'm really kind of losing my mind on
this.
We'll
be drinking some Apothic Red wine.
But I should have said that to Cora. I should have said, hey, man, this is a Wendy's. I should have said that to him.
So it's Twitter humor.
I guess. I have no idea.
Because Wendy's once did this, right?
You
is that where it's coming
it's
from?
Fine.
Is that where we think it came from?
I guess
from?
So. I don't know.
So she, because we had no idea when she responded to like that.
She doesn't even know I'm on her side. I think her brother gets screwed. I think he should have got defensive player of the year.
You should reply and say,
nobody's believing
McDonald's has better fries.
They do.
And just see what happens.
All hell break loose. Yeah. It's going to be like Strowman versus Cora.
It's like a bunch of cryptic messages. Nobody knows what they mean because they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Just make it up as you want.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this cryptic message stuff works.
You're not into it.
Twitter. No, I'm not into it. There's too much work to be done. I just want to get an answer. Give me something. Boom. I had no idea what the hell she was responding to. Sir, this is a Wendy's. I thought she confused Lou with somebody else.
I don't know.
You know what I did figure out, though? Is that you, Glenn Ordway, are the most mysterious man in the world.
I'm not that mysterious.
Seconded.
Right? Okay,
I'm not that mysterious.
There's as much as I know you, we all know you've been working for a long time, we don't know you. We don't know anything about you, but we find out all these. For an example, you were on General Hospital. You wanted to be an actor.
Right.
And then today.
How many years were you on General?
Years?
How many shows?
Weeks. 11. I was contracted for 16 weeks. I worked 11.
So what was your character?
It was an intern called Bernie Corbin.
So would you have a role?
Lou, background. Let's not get carried away.
But that's not even it, though.
You're on Cheers. So
my mother would watch, and she couldn't find where I was. You know,
you're kind of like Forrest Gump in a way, because you have, if we bring up a name, or a story, like today, we find out last night that the Bruins are going to play the St. Louis Blues.
Really?
And then we also find out that the post-game celebration theme song played in the St. Louis Blues locker room is a song called Gloria. Okay?
Correct. Which I'm familiar with it.
Okay, which everyone should be familiar with,
yes.
The 80s hit song, Gloria. And who sung this song?
Laura Branigan.
Laura Branigan. If I was to tell you guys that our very own Glenn Ordway went to high school with Laura Branigan.
Did not go to high school with Laura Branigan.
And had sexual relations with her.
What?
No.
Oh, the rumors are flying.
This is all hold on.
What is
this
your,
is a mystery to me.
Hold on. What is your connection to Laura Branigan?
I went to acting school.
Oh, acting school. Yeah.
Was there a little something?
A little something. I wouldn't say there was a little something. We were friends.
Did she try to, was she courting you?
She was not courting me?
Yeah.
What kind of term is that?
She's back then,
Lou,
you know.
Lou, this is a Wendy's.
Wait, but so you went to acting school.
I did.
Did you know at the time that she could sing?
Yes.
So yeah. She sang in acting
school. She had a band or something. She was singing. There was another girl that was a great singer who did very well out there.
It was Diana Ross.
No. It's before my time. Yeah. a girl by the name of Cindy Bullins from Topsfield, Massachusetts. She was
terrific.
Wait,
so you met
well.
Her when you were in LA or
now,
Mass?
She is now Sydney Bullins.
Okay, no one cares about her.
I'm just giving you
Laura Branigan. Okay,
just telling you.
Okay, but you met her in LA?
No, I met her in New York.
Oh, so this is when you
Laura
were in
Branigan?
NYU.
She's no longer with us.
What college did you go to?
This school I went to was the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
What were your
famous acting school?
How many student loans did you have? How much when you were done?
Did somebody get you in?
Amber's not that bad.
Coop and Lynn. We had no money.
How much did your parents have to give to get you in? Did you write
a parents didn't. I had to pay.
Did you mock a picture of you rowing? Put your fake picture on somebody else.
They
and you
didn't
got
have,
into the
they
school.
Didn't have athletics at the.
I just
at the
think
school.
This is amazing.
But
to me.
Going back to Christian's original.
Well, if you go
point.
To acting, hold on. If you go to acting school, there's a good chance that you're going to have some successful people that are in your class. It's a famous acting school, so you're going to have some famous people that went to that school that did quite well, right?
I just think that it's odd that this story comes up and you're like, oh, it just nonchalantly, like it's no big deal, like you're talking about something your kids did, or
I knew Laura
or something
Brennan.
That your dog
did
barfed up.
Yeah, I did know.
Yeah, Laura, right. Can you get her on the show?
No, I did. When she's no longer with us.
That'd be
tough. She's dead? That, away 15
that's
years
ago. Was it that long ago? Oh, God.
This is unbelievable. Can you get her on the show? The answer would be no.
He said it earlier. He said
she had a brain aneurysm.
She
passed away like 15 years ago.
You don't think that's 04.
She passed away.
No, it's a casual name drop.
The thing is that he's got, he never shares. It's like we come upon this news by accident. Like you know,
it's a casual name drop.
It's just like it's no big deal. Sure. Like, oh, Laura Branigan. What?
Oh, yeah.
You went to school.
Well, I guess
Laura
there's a thousand of those instances. Though.
I think there's more stories.
Excuse me. If you're friendly with people in college, and in this case, I never saw her after college, but we were friends in college. We hung around the same people.
You dated her.
No, I didn't date her, but we hung around the same
people. You had sexual relations with Laura Branigan. I can see it on the cover of National Enquirer.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. But you've had the same experience, haven't you, with
really.
People you went to college with?
No, I just feel like you have...
That went on and did something that you...
Well, yes, right. But I feel like you have more of these random Forrest Gump type
Give
situations.
Give you another one. You want another one? Peter Weller, the RoboCop. He's a friend of mine in college, too. Give you another one.
Is he alive?
He's alive.
Get him on the phone.
He's alive. I haven't talked to him in 40 years.
Would they know who you are?
30 years. If you recite that, remember what we did in college, if you go back and say that, they're going to remember
you.
You
know that big O in Boston?
You think he's telling his friends, yeah, they got, you know the wine line? Pfft, that's my guy. I went to
you don't have
with
people
guy.
You went to college with that have gone on to do
Ladies
other things?
Well, that's
big
not the
O!
Point.
I don't think so.
That's not the point, though.
You were the biggest name out of your class?
No, I don't know. I'm sure there aren't.
Because I wasn't. There were a lot of people that did really well.
Yeah, I have no clue. No, I don't know anybody.
But I just feel like you're the Forrest Gump of sports talk radio.
How's that?
Think of Forrest Gump and all the random people that he met in his life that made a difference in the world. And here we are talking about the St. Louis.
That was not real.
Here we are talking about the St. Louis Blues and the song Gloria. And, I went to school with her. We were buddies.
Yeah.
She was part of my acting troupe.
She was.
We did a lot of impromptu acting scenes. What?
I can't remember.
You're a lamppost.
I just remember doing them.
You're a lamppost. Go.
Were you also in Curse of the Bambino?
I believe I was in Curse of the Bambino.
What was your role there?
I played myself. It was a documentary, right?
Oh, okay.
It was a documentary.
I wasn't sure.
It wasn't an acting job.
Oh, all right.
No. Dan Shaughnessy was in it as well. What character did he play?
Your full bio.
Huh?
You know, actor. No. He is an actor. That's what you are. You're an actor.
I'm not acting
Known
right
for
though.
Cheers. Curse of the Bambino. Remember Reggie.
I was the narrator for that.
Okay.
See, I think there's an interesting segment that we can pull out of this. I'm not sure
I'm
what it is.
I'm surprised that you don't have anybody. Like you have nobody.
I do, but here's my point.
But
you're
talks about
it
to no end, though. You don't.
You hide all these things. No, you
I don't hide
them.
I mean,
you know when you name drop when you feel when it's,
I don't.
It's significant.
So
it's
you can't say I don't name drop and then I name drop.
No, but it's weird the way
that's
you
like
do
when
it.
You sit there and say I sit on the fence and then you say shut up. That's the dumbest take I've ever heard.
You sit on the fence though.
So if I take a dumb take, how is am I sitting on the fence when I take a dumb take?
It's strategic.
No, it's stupid. That's what it is. It's not playing out here.
You want to act like a big deal, like when Dale and Keith were coming out talking about the St. Louis Blues and Gloria. You're like, oh yeah, I went to school with her, and you just walked away, and you didn't say anything. It's like you want us to chase you. It's weird. It's a weird deal you got going on.
Wait, Glenn, stay.
Oh, Tell us more about Laura Branigan. What happened? Did you date? What scenes did you do?
Why don't you
Romeo
call
Romeo and Juliet?
Why don't you try to see if you can get her on the
I'm
show
I'm
going to
call
again.
Her right now.
Call her up.
I'm going to call her.
Glenn, get your phone out.
Hey, get a phone number.
Look under the bees. He might still have it.
That was unbelievable.
What?
You said that.
Let's get her on the show. Out of the most random, that's the person I also know that died? Is Patti Smyth
That's
alive?
A random rally song for a team, isn't it, too?
Yeah, and it's stupid how Gloria? They did it. Did you see what happened?
No, so five guys went out and did what
they were in a bar in Philadelphia, and apparently there was a jukebox or something there. They were playing the music, and they suddenly decided they were going to play that song.
In other words, they were bleep-faced,
yes.
And it came on. They started singing it.
Yes. And the story got out that they were playing it every time there was a commercial break. And apparently they adopted it back here in St. Louis. I'll tell you what, if you watch these games in St. Louis, this is going to be Yahoo City. You're going to see some stuff that's
Yahoo City.
Yeah, Yahoo City.
Okay.
This is Yahoo City. I mean, their claim to fame is that they played the Boston Bruins back in 1970. It's been 49 years since they've
been. Oh, Bobby Orr, expansion team.
And the franchise has never won a Stanley Cup final game. Never won. They played 3 years in a row. That 68, 69, and 70
years
season.
In a row.
Was it four years?
Counting the Bruins, right?
No,
the previous three, I thought they got swept.
No, I thought it was 68, 69, and 70, and they were swept in each one of those. And they were an expansion franchise. The whole half of the league was expansion. So we had six original teams. They added another six, and the six teams sucked. So when people talk about the great, goal by Bobby Orr 40 seconds into overtime.
Game seven of overtime.
Right. Game four.
What?
It was game four.
I go back to 1976.
It was game four. It was a sweep. There was nobody on the planet that thought the Bruins were going to lose to the St. Louis Blues.
3 years
they didn't think they were going to lose a single game to the St. Louis Blues.
So they've never won a Stanley Cup game.
A game, correct. They were an expansion team.
Well, I'd say they're going to, you know.
They have a chance of winning a game.
I think they're going to win a game, no?
They may win a couple of them. They're pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I think they are pretty good.
Tell you what, we're going to give Christian the entire roster. And he's going to entire roster.
Right now?
Yeah, why not?
I'm taking a break right now.
And then right after the break,
oh,
well, you're going to run down the roster.
Don't show it to me.
Start with the backup goalie. Jake Allen.
Yeah, try him.
Get that name.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.